The Word of God is living. It is powerful, infallible, indestructible, incorruptible, and it will work mightily in me.
And now, your host, Pastor Jerry Maya Williams, from the service Already in Progress.
Last week I talked about listening with the third ear. And today I want to talk about the voice of the Lord. The voice of the Lord. In Genesis chapter 3, beginning at verse 8, and they heard the sound of the Lord God. Now, some translations say they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Now, the cool of the day simply speaks of the air of the day or the breath of the day. But they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Now, before I go on, it's important for you to recognize in this verse that God is speaking, but Adam and Eve are not listening. They're not hearing because they didn't respond. But they heard the voice of the Lord, but they hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. I believe that God is still speaking to his people. I believe that God is speaking to many of us. But do we listen and hear what God is saying, or do we hide from the voice of the Lord among our trees of our garden? What is your tree? Maybe it's your education. Maybe it's your religious indoctrination, your academic training. Maybe it is your socioeconomic status. But don't ever get too much and so big that you can't hear the voice of the Lord. Verse 9, then the Lord God called to Adam and said, "Where are you?" And every one of us should ask ourselves that question. This is not a question of geographical location. This is a question of your spiritual situation. Where are you? So he said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." Please notice that even after the fall of man, after Adam fell in the garden, Adam still had the ability to hear the voice of the Lord. What is our excuse? We are the righteousness of God in Christ. The Spirit of God lives in every one of us who calls, that are called by his name. You know, Paul said in Romans, if you have not his Spirit, you're none of his. So every one of us have the Spirit of God, amen? So what is our excuse? We don't hear the voice of the Lord, but yet this fallen man, in a sinful state, he could hear the voice of the Lord. And the voice of the Lord was a sound that he heard walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And then when God called out to him and said, "Adam, where are you?" And Adam said, "I heard your voice. I heard your voice, but I hid myself." How many are hiding themselves from the voice of the Lord? Now, last week I told you that to listen is to pay attention in order to hear. And to hear is a function of perceiving sound. Just like Adam heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Now, the foremost commandment that God ever gave Israel, and I believe it's the most important commandment God ever gave Israel, in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4, God says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one God." He's one Lord. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." So God admonished Israel that if you're going to be successful when you enter the land that I promise you, you must learn to listen. You must learn to hear. Can you say amen? And it's true for us to be victorious in life. We must learn to live by listening and by hearing the voice of the Lord with a third ear. And that third ear, it's not this ear, it's not that ear, it's this ear. We must learn to hear the voice of the Lord with the third ear. And the third ear is the ear of the Spirit. Is that right? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing. Faith cometh by a sound. Faith cometh by a voice, and it's the voice of the Lord. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. And without faith, Hebrews says, it is impossible to please him. So if you can't hear the voice of the Lord, you will not build your faith. And if you don't build your faith, you can never please God. How many listening to me? How many hear what I'm saying? I'm telling you, God wants us to hear the voice of the Lord. What is the voice of the Lord? What is the voice of the Lord? Well, you know, I began to look at the scriptures. And when God led Israel out of Egypt, after the first miracle, where God turned the bitter water sweet, after that first miracle, God spoke to Israel. Before they continued their trek into the wilderness, he said, if you diligently listen, that's the first thing God's going to say to them. How important it is to listen. If you diligently listen to the voice of the Lord your God and do that which is right in his sight, give ear to all of his commandments and keep all of his statutes, then I will not put upon you any of the diseases I brought upon the Egyptians. Look to what God is saying. Then he went on to say to them, for I am the Lord your God who healeth you. In other words, I am Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals you. But listen to what God is saying here. God is saying, because we don't listen, because we don't do what's right in his sight, because we don't give ear to his commandments, because we don't keep all of his statutes, we allow diseases to come upon us that ought not to be named among us. Why? Because we're not listening to God about our lifestyles. We're not listening to God about our diets. We're not listening to God about our health in general. And then we wonder why we're sick. He said you got to diligently listen. And how are you going to listen if you don't know the voice of the Lord? So God clearly said to Israel that your health would be inextricably tied to your ability to listen. You got to listen to me. And if you listen to me, I will not put upon you any of the diseases that I brought upon the Egyptians. Why? I am the Lord your God who heals you. I am Jehovah Rapha. Isn't that good news? Isn't that good news? Now you just figured out why you may be sick or why sickness come upon you from time to time. Are you listening to God about what you should eat? Are you listening to God about your lifestyle? Are you listening to God? So what is the voice of the Lord? What is the voice of the Lord? The voice of the Lord is the sound of the Lord. Don't miss this. How does God sound? Adam knew. Why don't we know now that we're in the second Adam, Jesus Christ? The voice of the Lord is the sound of the Lord. And the sound of the Lord is the word of the Lord. And the word of the Lord is his will. Is that simple? Do I need to go through that again? We need to learn the sound of the Lord. Many of you can repeat the lyrics on many songs that you enjoy. Even on that rap stuff, folks, just repeating it, memorizing it, got it down, rote memory, memorize. But we don't remember the sound of the Lord. This is the sound of the Lord. The sound of the Lord is the word of the Lord. Adam heard the sound of the Lord. He heard the voice of the Lord. When God said to him, Adam, where are you? Have you eaten of the tree that I commanded you not to eat of? That was the word of the Lord. So the word of the Lord is the sound of the Lord. The sound of the Lord, the voice of the Lord, is the sound of the Lord. And the sound of the Lord is the word of the Lord. And the word of the Lord is the will of the Lord. Somebody ought to say something. Now, Jesus taught us that those of us in relationship with God, if you're in relationship with God, say amen. So Jesus taught us that God's people and truth seekers would know the voice of the Lord. I need you to get this. Jesus taught us that the people of God would be in relationship with God, in relationship with our Heavenly Father. Now, in John chapter 10, verse 27, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. Did you notice that? My sheep hear. The number one attribute about people in relationship with God, they hear God. You don't hear God with your natural ears. I remember it's about the second time, well, the first time God spoke to me is when he called me to preach the gospel. The second time God spoke to me, it was so overwhelming for me. I thought it was audible, but it really wasn't audible. But it seemed like it was audible because I wasn't used to hearing the voice of the Lord. But when God speaks to us, he speaks to our heart. Huh? And Jesus said, my sheep. If you're his sheep, say amen. Then he said, my sheep hear my voice. And I know them, and they follow me. How are you going to follow the shepherd if you don't recognize the shepherd's voice? This is what he was teaching us. My sheep hear. And I know who my sheep is because I'm in a relationship with them. And they follow me. Why? They know my voice. They know my sound. Huh? When Jesus stood before Pilate in John chapter 18, verse 37, Pilate asked Jesus, are you then a king? Jesus said, you say I'm a king. For this purpose was I born. And for this cause came I into the world, that I might bear witness to the truth. And they who are of the truth, they hear my voice. How many of the truth this morning? I'm talking about the voice of the Lord. Now notice what Jesus said to Pilate. For this purpose was I born, and for this cause I came into the world, that I may bear witness to the truth. Now listen to me, young ministers, or old ministers, doesn't matter. You need to understand, your ministry, preaching and teaching the word, is not about how you look or how you sound. It's about bearing witness to the truth. I could care less what message is in vogue. My job is to bear witness to the truth. If you want to be like Christ, you bear witness to the truth. And he says, everyone that's of the truth, everyone that's of the, no exceptions, everyone who's of the truth, they hear my voice. Why did he hear his voice? Because he's speaking. He's speaking to us out of his word. He's speaking to us. But are we hiding behind the trees of the gardens of our lives? And we're not hearing the voice of the Lord. Is that right? So the Holy Spirit, and believe it or not, I'm still talking about the Holy Spirit. I've been talking about the Holy Spirit probably all summer. The Holy Spirit, he helps us to listen and to hear with the third ear what God is saying. What is God saying? What is God saying to you about your marriage? What is God saying to you about your family? your relationships. Come on. You're sick and tired of that person doing you wrong all the time. What is God saying about that relationship with that person? What is God saying about your job or your business? What is God saying? Don't be so proud to be determined to continue in a certain direction when you know everything in that direction is against you. What is God saying? What is God saying? Look at somebody and ask them, what is God saying? Well, Jesus said, when the Comforter comes, oh my God, the Comforter, the Paracletos, the one who walks alongside to help, the one who abides with us forever, the one who counsels us, who helps us, who teaches us. Jesus said, when that Comforter comes, he says, whom I will send to you from the Father, he'll be a spirit of truth. He proceeds from the Father. And Jesus said, he will testify of me. How are you going to receive the testimony if you don't know the voice? What good is this testimony if you don't recognize the voice? He will testify of me. Now, what are the mechanics of hearing the voice of the Lord? It's real simple. Jesus broke it down for us in John chapter 16, verse 13. He said, howbeit, or however, when the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of himself. In other words, he will not speak in his own authority. But he shall speak whatsoever he hear. That shall he declare unto you. And then he will show you things to come. Those are the mechanics of hearing the voice of the Lord. You can't do it without the help of the Spirit, because God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship in spirit and truth, and they that really want to hear from him must hear from him in spirit and in truth. Is that right? So he said, however, when the Spirit of truth is come, he shall guide you into all truth. Number one. Number two, he said, he shall not speak in his own authority. Number three, but he shall speak whatsoever he hear. And then he will declare that unto you. Number four. Number five, he will show you things to come. Now, the Holy Spirit is so integritous, so honest, so pure, so true. He never speaks in his own authority. He only speaks what he hears. He speaks what he hears from the Father, and he declares that unto us as the voice of the Lord. Are you listening to me? And then he says, this is what God is saying to you. Come on. You know, we like to know what God is saying to everybody else, but what is God saying to you? Huh? He does not speak in his own authority, but he speaks only what he hears. And that does he declare unto us. Then he shows us things to come. In other words, he tells us things that's going to happen. How many have had that experience other than me? That the Spirit show you something in the future even before it happens. Sometimes he shows you things in the immediate future, the distant future. But he shows you things that will come. He'll tell you about it. That's hearing the voice of the Lord. This is why I encourage every one of you to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now, every Christian has the Holy Spirit. And if you come on Wednesday night, you know that I've been teaching that and teaching that and teaching that. You know, First Corinthians 12, verse 13 says, for by one Spirit we all baptized into one body. Every believer has the Holy Spirit. But every believer has not been baptized in the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit. When you're baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit, you have a greater sensitivity to the voice of the Lord. Now, God can speak to anybody that has a spirit. And every believer has to have a spirit, or Paul says you're none of his. But when you baptize in the Holy Spirit, there's a keen and there's a keen and sensitivity you have to the voice of the Lord. It's like your antennas are always up, and you can receive the signal coming from heaven. You know that sound. Amen. And the writer of Hebrews says today, when you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Don't be like Adam and Hyatt. Today, when you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Don't say, well, something said to me. No. You got to be careful with something. He's not something, he's someone. Something said to me. Well, how do you know it wasn't the devil? Don't raise your hands. Folks saying, something said to me. Something said to me. That connotes distance. That implies there's no relationship. Because something said. And you don't know who something is. And it could have been the enemy. He is not a thing or something. He is a person. He is a comforter. He is one like Jesus. Jesus said, "We'll pray the Father to send you another comforter that is another like me." He is a person. And he comes to help us to hear and to listen with a third ear what God is saying to us. And when you hear that voice, harden not your heart. And sometimes you don't like what God has to say. Sometimes God will speak to your heart and bring great conviction upon your life. He'll tell you, you know you were wrong. And the word will come to you and convict you of your sin. Come on. And he does that with the help of the Holy Spirit, by the way. That's one of the ministries of the Spirit, is to convict you of your sin. That is not my ministry. That is not his ministry or your ministry over there to convict somebody of sin. That is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Is that right? John 16 says, and when he is come, he will convict the world of sin. That's his ministry, not mine. My ministry is to bear witness to the truth. Oh, you must take a place to say amen. So the day, it might be today, but whenever you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Don't resist. Don't push against it. Don't hide from it. But submit to that word. Amen? Because your second state is going to be better than the former. Come on. When you come out on the other side, you're going to come out better than you were when you came in on the first side. Is that right? Now, I'm almost finished with this. Now, Jesus, in the revelation of John the Apostle, on the island of Patmos, he appeared to John and he said to John, John, what you see, he said, and what you hear, I want you to write it and send it to the seven churches of Asia. And Jesus, in this vision, gave John a message for all of the seven churches, respective messages in Asia. And I want to deal with the message, the seventh message. The seventh message, you find in Revelation chapter 3, beginning at verse 14, that seventh message was to the church at Laodicea. Don't miss this. It was to the church at Laodicea. The church of Laodicea was much like many churches are in this day, in this time. Apostate, lukewarm. Now the word Laodicea means people speak. So what is God saying to us about the Laodiceans? They cared more about the word of men than they did the word of God. Don't that remind you of some Christian circles in this day and this time? They care more about the word of men than they do the word of God. Let me tell you something. Many of these messages we have listened to, that's all they were, messages, but they weren't the word of God. There is no such thing as a prosperity message. There is no such thing as a deliverance message. There's only the gospel of the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the word that God gives us to bear witness to the truth. But the Laodiceans were like that. They cared more about man's word than they did the word of God. In fact, Jesus said to John, write to them and tell them that I wish you were cold or hot. I wish you were cold or hot. But because you're not cold or hot, he says, you're lukewarm. But I wish you were cold or hot. And because you're not cold or hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. I will vomit you out of my mouth. The Lord says, because you're not cold or hot. You see, he can have mercy on the cold and the frozen. Come on. But he really wants us to be on fire for him. He says, I wish you were cold or hot. It's that person that's straddling the fence. It's that person that's in between. It's that person who won't take a stand. That's the person that is hard to help. Even the Lord says, ain't much I can do for you. Because you're not cold, you're not hot. You're lukewarm. And I will spew you out of my mouth. Why were they lukewarm? They were lukewarm because they believed more in the messages, the word of man, than they did the word of God. Jesus said, and you say, speaking to the church at Laodicea, and you say, you are rich, you are wealthy, increased in good, and you have need for nothing. Jesus said, but I would have you to know that you are wretched and miserable and poor. You are blind and you're naked. How many Christians in this time are guilty of that same indictment? They think they have a leg up with God. They think they've got it going on with God because of riches, material wealth. They increased in goods. Increased goods, there's no significant correlation between increased goods and your spirituality. You can have all the money.
Join us Sunday at Agape Word Fellowship, where Dr. Jerry Maya Williams is your pastor, proclaiming a life-changing message of the agape love and power that God is. For more information, log on now at www.agapeword.net, 1430 South New Hope Road, Agape Word Fellowship.
Hi, I'm Jackie Diaz, inviting you to worship with us on Sundays at 10 a.m. Hear a life-changing message of God's unconditional love and acceptance that will strengthen and bless you. Agape Word Fellowship is located at 1430 South New Hope Road in Raleigh. Children and youth ministries are available. Casual dress is always welcome. Agape Word Fellowship is the home of word power. Hola, soy Jackie Diaz, invitándolos a adorar a nuestro Señor los domingos a las 10 de la mañana. Escucha un mensaje de amor incondicional y aceptación y bendición y fortaleza. Los ministerios de niños y jóvenes están disponibles. Vestido casual es bienvenido. Agape Word Fellowship es la casa del poder de la palabra.